Welcome back. Here's a phrase that's going to become a big part of the news. Exempted aquifer. Aquifers are those underground layers of rock or sand that contain water. Unlike other sources of water, which are protected by the Safe Drinking Water Act, many aquifers have been exempted because it was thought the water was too deep to reach or possibly naturally polluted and too expensive to purify. So why not pollute it more? In fact, ProPublica discovered that EPA officials have granted over 1,500 permits to energy and mining companies, allowing them to inject pollutants into aquifers in some of the driest parts of the country. But then, whoops, some new purification was developed as water supplies are drying up and new technology is making deeper water easier to reach. So all eyes are now on Mexico City, which is planning to drill a mile down. ProPublica reporter Abram Lustgarten joins us from the studios at UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. And Abram, tell us more about Mexico City, drilling a mile down, just to try and picture it. You have a great way of illustrating how their water sources are running out, you know, why they have to do this.
Yeah, they're actually going to drill to about 6,200 feet below the city of Mexico City. Traditionally, Mexico City has drawn water from a much more shallow aquifer just below the city, and as it's drawn down that water supply, it's also begun to import water from outside of the city. Now they've discovered that this very deep geologic layer also contains a great amount of water. They've drilled a test well. They're going to drill more wells at a cost of about $40 million and begin to pump that water back up to the surface and treat it.
Well, as you say, as they draw that water down that's in the easier to reach, they're collapsing the land around it. You know, buildings teetering, they're just running out of that easier to reach water.
Yeah, the earth in Mexico and in the United States and elsewhere is essentially filled with water, and we naturally tap the most accessible layer, which is pretty close to the surface. And as people draw down those water layers, it doesn't support the earth we stand on the way that we're used to, and the earth literally subsides. And in Mexico City, that's led to some of their most iconic buildings kind of teetering, cracks in the facades, breaking apart underground infrastructure and piping and sewer systems and all sorts of problems.
Well, but you know, as you write, Colorado, Texas, Nevada, levels have also dropped here in the U.S. What's been the effect there?
Well, you see subsidence issues across the United States, some due to aquifer withdrawal, some due to mining and other problems. But, you know, occasionally you hear of sinkholes opening up across the Texas landscape or Louisiana landscape. That's an example. Parts of the Central Valley of California have dropped several feet significantly because of the depletion of underground aquifers. And aquifers themselves, while maybe not causing subsidence, are dropping steadily in the United States. The drinking water aquifer beneath Denver is about 300 feet vertical. Feet lower than it used to be. The Ogallala Aquifer, perhaps the nation's biggest and best known, is also dropping considerably. There's no doubt across the board that water levels are dropping.
Yeah, and you said that some of these aquifers that are being polluted, you know, that have the go-ahead, they're exempted, they have the go-ahead for mining and drilling, are also being used as sources of water, and everybody knows it. I think it's Wyoming that you cite.
It is, yes. And, you know, these aquifers, they might be used in one place hundreds of miles away from where the pollution is happening. And it's that distance that gives environmental regulators confidence to say that the pollution in one place won't impact the drinking water in another. But there's all sorts of new scientific questions being raised about how contaminants and pollution travel underground, whether they're held confined in a specific area or whether they will move and how quickly they'll move. In one extreme example, in Florida, a study came out recently. Scientists injected dye into the rock. They expected they did this to trace the speed at which pollution moved. They expected it to take perhaps a year, and it happened in a matter of weeks that this pollution moved over the distance they were measuring. So there's all sorts of surprises about how that pollution could affect drinking water over great distances in the future.
And you set up a scenario in which states have to figure out, do we want the revenue from the drilling, or do we want to think about our future water? You went to the Christensen Ranch just outside the Pumpkin Buttes, is it? And talked to owner John Christensen. His family has worked that land for over 100 years. It's dry country. They've made ends meet by allowing mining. 25 years ago, the EPA and Wyoming officials decided that polluting the water beneath the ranch was okay. Now they're thinking, wow, there might be billions of gallons of reachable water, reachable with new technology underneath that land. So talk about the tension that sets up.
Yeah, this is an interesting case because it really tests Environmental Protection Agency policy. To mine uranium, which is happening more and more in the United States, you have to pollute water. You have to pollute a shallow drinking water aquifer typically and then get rid of the waste, which in the case of central Wyoming is injected deep underground into another aquifer with another exemption. So 20 or so years ago, the EPA and the state of Wyoming did issue permits for this mine to operate, and it's been operating for many of those years between then and now. What they discovered most recently when some of those permits came up for renewal was that the deep aquifer, the deep layers of geology might contain drinking water that they hadn't previously acknowledged and that the permits didn't previously address. And it kind of set up the EPA in a bit of a conundrum because the law prohibits them from injecting waste above an aquifer without a new exemption. They were forced to make this decision about whether to exempt a very broad, large area of geology that contained what they call the Madison Aquifer. And the Madison is used for drinking water about 50 miles away in the town of Gillette, and it's used elsewhere. So it really forces the EPA to reconsider whether its policies are out of date. 30 years ago, they assumed this water would never be used. Now the equation has changed. Maybe it will be used. A very difficult decision for them. And in the end, they did exempt that aquifer, and they are allowing the injection of that waste and pollution into central Wyoming.
So what's the thinking going ahead? Because we know we're going to need water. We got a call from Marty Rosenberg. He's the editor of Energy Biz magazine. He says, you know, there's not free energy. There's always pros and cons. And he cited Israel as being a leader in desalination. But back here in the U.S., we have different issues. What is the thinking about being able to purify this water that we're polluting?
Well, first of all, technology is improving dramatically. So water can be treated today economically in ways that it couldn't just a few years ago. The city of El Paso, the city of San Antonio, Texas, they're both building $100 million treatment plants to draw aquifer water that would have been polluted and serve it to their municipalities. Secondly, the expense of drawing water from great depth is also becoming more palatable, if you will. What was considered way too expensive to ever be useful a decade ago, now as water becomes increasingly scarce and the cost of water is rising, that expense is more appropriate in the eyes of many municipalities or companies that would draw this water. So the entire equation of value, the economics of water, is changing. The policy hasn't necessarily kept up. Of course, there's a balance between energy and water, but the value of water needs to be recognized.
Yeah, it's a little out of balance now, some would say. ProPublica reporter Avram Lustgarten, his latest book, by the way, Run to Failure, BP and the Making of the Deepwater Horizon Disaster. But he's been looking at water. Avram, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take a break. Be back in a minute, here and now.